Blog Talk Radio.
And not only the image, but even down to the name. Where it's only in modern English that we have the name Jesus. A couple of hundred years ago, that name never existed.
The mainstream media is ignoring this information. Most of the alternative media is also ignoring it.
The way.
Poetic Energy Network.
Station.
Shalom. What's going on? We back again. Praise you for another Sabbath. Another chance to rest and just dive into the scriptures. And, you know, we come closer. We end the week. Tomorrow we'll be in the week of the Pesach. So all this week, you know, we're getting ready for that and, you know, unleavened bread. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in a little bit. But, yes, it's another day. You know, let's go to the throne and approach Yahuwah, and let's get it going. Father Yahuwah, we thank you once again for another day. We thank you for showing us and helping us, Father. We pray that in the name of Yahushua, the Messiah, Father, you would decrease us, that the Ruach may increase, that show us great and awesome things and speak through us and to us and show us what the spiritual atmosphere, spiritual weather, Father, that we may prepare for all things which are coming and they may not catch us unaware. So, Father, we pray that you would speak through us, that you would send encouragement. You would lift our spirits, Father. You would just continue to comfort us and to be with us. And we thank you. Yahushua Mashiach, may we pray. So be it. Hallelujah. Amen. So, once again, we back. We starting it again. And, you know, it's another Shabbat. And we got some breaking news in just a little bit that you know, Yahuwah always gives us the first in, the first dibs, you know, to show us what's going to happen, what's going on. And so we want to talk about that in just a minute. But right now we want to keep you abreast about, you know, what's going on in, you know, foreign lands and what's going on over in Iran, the whole Iranian situation and what's been going on over there. Now, this is just a recent report. The latest out of that whole situation with Iran and the U.S., the latest report, which, you know, is perpetrated always by the media, so we have to continue to dig to see, hey, if these stories are legit and what's really going on. But word on the streets, this is not the breaking news, but word on the streets, the Israeli military, you know, commanded by Benjamin Netanyahu, have actually been setting up airstrike bases close to Iran. So the official article right here I'm reading is from March 29th, 2012. It says Israeli is developing a secret stage ground in Azerbaijan, says, for a possible attack on Iran. Reports Foreign Policy magazine, U.S. officials aren't happy with it and may have leaked the story. So basically they're saying that the U.S. might have got dibs of what's been going Israeli setting up airstrike bases near Iran, and so they're saying that the U.S. may have leaked that story. So I'm going to read a little bit of the story. It says, an Israeli F-16 fighter plane takes off from Romanian air base in southern Israel. Okay, that was just a picture that they had up. Hold on one second. And so So basically, what's going on is, I want to read a little bit of the article. It says, a three-way tension between the United States, Israel, and Iran. It says, and Iran became tense this week with a widely cited report that Israel is developing a secret staging ground in Iran's neighboring, Iran's neighbor to the north, as Ramadan, for a possible attack on Iran's nuclear facilities. Quoting unnamed senior U.S. diplomat and military intelligence officials, a lengthy article in the Foreign Policy magazine asserts that Israel has recently been granted access to the airbase on Iran's northern border. The Israelis have brought an airfield. A senior administrative official is quoted as saying in the airfield. So basically, this article talks about how Israel is positioning themselves around the northern border of Iran, preparing for their military attack on their nuclear facilities. And so we remember, we're going to talk about, you know, what they've been portraying in the news. And we know a couple weeks ago, you know, Obama said, hey, they kind of sent mixed messages and saying, hey, we don't want you to act prematurely in this matter. We want to kind of let it play out. So it seems like, you know, the Foreign Policy magazine and different sources have leaked information, basically kind of exposing, which are U.S. sources, exposing what Israel is doing, basically trying to, maybe it seems they're trying to leak the story because they don't want them to move prematurely, and they're trying to, you know, kind of offset them. But that's what's going on in that situation. And we already know that they're strategically maneuvering, playing chess, you know, and we know that the sanctions on July in June and then this summer go down, which we know that is going to cause a lot of trouble, you know, with Iran oil. You know, no one is going to be able to, according to the sanctions, no one's going to be able to trade with Iran. And this is almost, to them, they said before, this is a declaration of war. These sanctions, these laws that they're imposing on them because, you know, of they say their nuclear facility and all these things. But that's what's going on. We're going to keep you up to date with that. But this week, we have the Passover coming up. And we want to kind of take it. It's a different kind of thing. We're not going to be too long talking about this. We're going to talk about the breaking news in just a second. But this is very, what's going on right now is very deceptive. What's going on is very, very deceptive, what you have going on. And this is the breaking news. Before it hits the streets, before you hear about it, and we're going to go ahead and talk about it. So you be aware. So when these things start to break forth, we're not surprised because, you know, number one, everything is already written. And so this is what's going on. Recently, there has been reports, and what's going on is some research I've done. Okay, we all know about the so-called Third Temple and what's going on and the building of that. Now, we all know about the Third Temple and, you know, how's that going and the evolution to get to that point of where, you know, the temple is erected, because we know that scriptures say, just like Yahusha said, that when you see the abomination of desolation, that we know Daniel said that, you know, that the son of perdition would, you know, claim himself. We know that Shaul said, hey, that what's going to happen is Shaul and Thessalonians say that, you know, let no man deceive you, you know, but the coming of the son, with the coming of the Son of Man down for it. It won't happen with the great falling away and the Son of Perdition be revealed, the Son of Lawlessness, you know, who exalts himself above all, you know, and stands in the temple proclaiming himself to be El, right? We know that. So we know that he can't come without that actually happening, you know. So, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, it's tomorrow. But this information right here is really, you know, really wakes you up and say, hey, man, these things are really, really starting to happen. But we really want to, but before we get to that news, that part of the news, we want to kind of reverse a little bit and warm it up to get to that point and to, so you can understand, hey, what's actually, how is this thing actually transpiring so they get to the third temple to where the Son of Perdition is standing in there and proclaiming themselves to be El. And at this very moment, what they are actually doing, and this is news that won't be publicized. You know, you won't hear about this on CNN or nothing like that. So, you know, we gotta hit it, and we gotta you know, we wanna rewind it for a second. Yes. Okay. Now this is what you gotta realize right here. Okay, we have some information now. What you have to remember is, we talked about a while back, is that the Jews were in, the Ashkenazi Jews, who were currently in the land of Israel, they had connections with the Rothschilds, okay? Now, according to this one source, it says, in accordance with the New Jerusalem Covenant plan, Israel coincides the control of Jerusalem and hereby set apart places before the negotiations of Palestine begin. Now, the Rothschilds. Now, you know, everybody always say, oh, well, the Rothschilds, you know, you always saying they're Jewish and all this stuff. Now, the Rothschilds gave $100 million to Netanyahu. This is not too long ago. He gave them in order to build their lot, to build their library. Now, it also says, you know, we've got to still do research on this, but it says that the Rothschilds also funded, because, you know, the Rothschilds are in league and basically own the Federal Reserve Bank, so they print money, so it makes sense that they can give money. And the Rothschilds' whole agenda is trying to fulfill the evil side of Revelations, where 13, where no man can buy or sell except he have the, you know, the name, the beast, the mark of the beast. No, some sources I went over said, we're still looking at this, but they said that they spent over, you know, $5 million to purchase, to make a purchase on the Temple Mount and several other surrounding acres of land in the old city of Jerusalem. Now, I have a fishing water right here just showing you. It says, little recognized 4 months after the 62nd anniversary of the Israeli independence, Prime Minister Netanyahu personally thanks to the Rothschilds Yad Hanani Foundation for giving 100 million shekels towards the building of the National Library in Jerusalem, funded by the philanthropic arm of the International Rothschilds banking dynasty headed by Lord Jacob Rothschild. This high-tech library will house, protect, and restore all the remaining documents of in Hebrew, Yiddish, and national patriotic documents and photos of Israeli founding fathers, pioneering settlers, and the archive videos kept, which will be kept. Okay, so that shows right there that there's no you know, theology, no controversial, you know, thing. They're really, the Rothschilds really backed, you know, and of course we know that they're connected, they're the same in part, but they do it in dark to make it, you know, so nobody knows. This is not publicized or anything like that. Now, what you also have, we're gonna put some puzzle pieces together and you're gonna be able to see. Now, what you also have is back a long time ago, we're going to go back even further. We're going to rewind back even further. The whole movement of rebuilding the third temple of the so-called third temple. Rebuilding, because this, you got to remember, this temple that is trying to be rebuilt, you got to understand, this has no bearing on, this is built by the synagogue of Hasatan, who all things point to saying that they are actually, you know, just like Yahushua said, that there was a spirit of people, you know, no matter what, you know, color or anything. It was a spirit of people who were the actual sons of the devil. That's what he said. That's what he told the Pharisees. He said, y'all father is of the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. And a lot of Orthodox Jews, we know, have committed the unpardonable sin and have, you know, pretty much blasphemed. But we don't want to get too much into that. Now, the whole movement of building the third temple, we're gonna rewind a little bit further to catch you up to breath, and so we can get to the modern day news and how they actually gonna perpetrate this in the media. It says a movement sprung up wherein many of the Israel great scholars began publicizing declarations and publishing books on this. Now, these were not true Yahudim publishers and writers and authors. These were, you know, the German Ashkenazi Jews who, you know, were, you know, lived by the Caspian Sea, you know, and by Jordan, and who, with the Romans, came in and observed the customs and actually stole the heritage, all the way going back to Babylon, but they stole the heritage of the true people. Now, these are the people who they started publicizing declarations and publishing books on the subject of resettling the land, arousing public interest and attention around the question of rebuilding the temple as well. This movement included Rabbi Yahudi Babas, Rabbi Yahudi Al-Malak, Rabbi Zalman Hashalan Kalash, and others. Rabbi Zalman Hashalan Kalash, it says, a leader figure in this effort turned in writing the greatest Jewish philanthropist of this age. Now, basically, it goes on to talk about this guy and all this stuff. But this guy, back, this is a long time ago, this guy writes a letter. He writes a letter. The rabbi explained in great length how the renewal of the temple service will lead to a massive immigration of Jewish people from the lands of their oppression, resulting in eventually the settlement of it. So basically, what happened is it was a movement of these false rabbis who, you know, who are Pharisees, who, you know, the basis of their belief is the Talmud, which we talked about last week, what that belief actually came, that system actually came from the Babylonian priest who went into exile in the time of Daniel. But now this spirit has now somehow transferred to the Ashkenazi Jewish people. Now this spirit, now, not to say that there are Yahudim who are the actual descendants of Abraham who do not still practice this same belief as actually Babylon. We're not saying it. But this is the biggest group of people who are recognized carrying this spirit. So the Ashkenazi Jews, so these people start publishing works, the rabbis start publishing works and getting the momentum started to where people now, the buzz is going on about the rebuilding of the third temple, and it started. And so I have excerpts right here from one of these rabbis in the old time. He wrote a letter to a guy named Baron Rothschild in concerning the purchase of the temple mount. So this idea of the interaction between the Ashkenazi Jews and the Rothschilds, which are they from the same, basically, blood lineage, has always been going on because the Rothschilds, you know, have money. So, you know, I'm not going to read this letter and all this stuff, but basically it gets down to, according to a lot of sources, that the Rothschilds, who agenda is to basically fulfill the evil side of Revelation 13, they have already purchased and have control of the Temple Mount and other sites which we talked about in the Jerusalem covenant, in order to have the son of perdition come in and have the mark of the beast on these things. Now, number two, it's also evidence that states that the Rothschilds, once again, who the Federal Reserve, they have funded. Remember, 2005, what happened in 2005? The Sanhedrin, not the two Sanhedrin, but the Sanhedrin of Jewish rabbis, the same Kabbalists, that same spirit that was back in ancient Babylon, the astrologers, the magicians, the so-called wise men who felt like they can interpret the scriptures on some kind of other level, which is the Kabbalah mysticism, using the Father's name, doing all this other magic and all this stuff. These people, these same people we talked about last week, that same spirit transferred to these modern day Pharisees. Now, the Sanhedrin, 2005, the Sanhedrin is reinstated. Guess who financially was behind this? The Rothschilds. Okay, now, Rabbi Yisrael, who is one of the members of the 70-man Sanhedrin, is also the head of the Temple Institute, which is in charge of building the Third Temple. Now, according to sources, they have, currently right now, they have every instrument. They have rebuilt the replica of the menorah. They have the, he's in charge of this, Rabbi Yisrael, they have the menorah. They have the crown. They have the breastplate. Of course, they said they have the red heifer, and they had all these instruments, and they pretty much had all instruments in place. And for a while now, they have been training so-called priests. Now, this is where it gets interesting. This is where it gets interesting, and this is where the breaking news comes in, because this is what they're going to perpetrate. This is what they're going to perpetrate right here. And this gets real evil. This is what they're really going to perpetrate. Now, because this is going to tie into what we're going to talk about in a minute. We're going to talk about the true sons of Levi, the true priests right now, and we're going to talk about the Passover of Yahushua, because all this leading up to Yahushua. It leads up to the false Messiah and which is JC, Jesus Christ, and Yahushua, the true Messiah. Now, and his true people, the priests. Now, like I said, Rabbi Yisrael Urel, he is in head of the Temple Institute, and he's head of any part of the 70 Sanhedrin that was instituted back in 2005, Tiberius, which, you know, they said it was all a hype. And because none of this news gets publicized over here. You know, I didn't even know about it until it randomly went across until you were showing. Okay, so these things never get publicized. This Sanhedrin court, their body of law is the Babylonian Talmud. It's unsecretly talked about that. This is a Kabbalist group. Their body of law is the Babylonian Talmud. And we talked about last week, we read some of the laws that was in the Babylonian Talmud. Now, this court, this Sanhedrin court, they publicized that, you know, they keep the Torah and all this. But secretly, just like we talked about in Ezekiel 8, when he talked about his elders, what was his elders doing? Now, I don't want to confuse you to believe that these are really his elders. No, these are not really his elders. These are people perpetrating the ancient Babylonian true people. This is what this is. You're actually looking at a mirror. So what happened is you have them doing in the dark. So they publicize Torah, and, you know, they're not really doing the Torah. They say, but they don't do. Okay? Just like Ezekiel, we read in Ezekiel 8, he said, look something, what they're doing in the dark. So the Ashkenazi Jews, who, you know, we know, of course, we know anyway, but they are doing these things in the dark, the Babylon Talmud. Now, remember this, the Babylon Talmud is their governing. So the Revelation says that it's in the beast's heart to give the power unto the law. So imagine, just imagine it. Imagine the 70 man Sanhedrin talking about Jerusalem, all this is coming together. See the puzzle pieces. We talked about how Rome also has 7 hills and how Jerusalem has 7 hills and how the power is going to be, Babylon is going to be in Mizraim. Mizraim and Sodom is what Jerusalem is called, and how Babylon, the great whore, she's going to ride the beast because there's also 7 hills in Jerusalem. So now, think about this governing body, ruling governments, ruling all kind of establishments, your local government, and the body of law being not really the Torah, but it being the Babylonian Talmud, in which they say basically they can kill you for no reason. They can do this. They can have sex with children and all kind of profound wicked theology. This Kabbalah wicked theology. Imagine that. Of course, they're not going to publicize that because they wouldn't. We talked about it. One of the laws on the U.S. book is Public Law 102-14. Which is called Education Day. But you know what Education Day really is when you really get down and look at the law? It says that if you blaspheme, that you are liable for death by decapitation. And that's called Education Day. So they're not going to publicize this. But this governing body, 70 Sanhedrin, which has already been reinstated, that's what's going on. Okay, so now we're going to speed it up. Take you to the good part. Okay, so all this is going to lead up to the Passover. So according to Yahudim tradition, this is where it gets very tricky. According to the Yahudim tradition, only males from the direct line of Aaron could serve as priests in the set apart temple of Elohim. Teachings confirm that this custom was followed by, it says, from the first Tabernacle of Solomon through the Yahudim exile in Babylon and continue to the construction of Herod's temple by Titus, Herod's temple by Titus in 70 AD, to the destruction of Herod's temple in 70 AD. Now, what you got to remember, the series of events. Woo! This is going to get interesting, okay? Now, Remember, the first temple was built by Solomon, right? The first temple was built by Solomon, okay? So then, when they built the first temple of Solomon, the elders, they had the Sanhedrin, they had the governing body, they had different things, you know, that was going on. Now, remember what happened. When they went to Babylon, When the Yahudim were exiled, I'm talking about the true Yahudim. When the Yahudim were exiled into Babylon, eight hundred something BC to almost, I believe it, to about 500 BC. Okay, so when this happens, when they transitioned, they went into exile into Babylon, what did we talk about last week? That the Pharisaical rabbi priest began, because before it wasn't like that. They were up until the point where they started, you know, sinning, it wasn't like that. So now they come into Babylon. These high these so-called priests began to rise up with this Babylonian spirit. The Babylonian Talmud is created. These laws and interpretation on the Torah, which Yahuwah said, no for. He said, do not add or take away from my word. That's what he said. That's what he said. We can read Proverbs. We read Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30, verse 6, it says, do not add to his words, lest he reprove you, and you be found a liar. Now, they began to, our people, our forefathers, who were not, you know, they're not really our forefathers, because they were severed from Yisrael, but by the flesh, they began to add to his word, the Talmud, the interpretations, they said that the scribes, one of their lines was, we talked about last week, that they said that the scribes, that if you do something against the scribe, like, basically, the word of the scribe was now, out of Babylon, the word of the scribe was now more important than the word of Yahuwah. This is what they said. And the word of prophets. So it makes sense that Yahuwah kept saying, I was sending y'all the prophets. I was sending y'all the prophets. Look what Yahushua said. Go to if you got the scriptures, go to Matthew. Matthew 23 and 37. This is what he said. This is what Yahushua said. 36. Matter of fact, let's go to 33. This is what he was talking about. Yahushua was talking to these rabbis who had risen up in Babylon to take position, to sit in Moshe's seat, in which nobody told them they could sit. And he all, that's why he kept telling them, y'all brothers, because he had instituted a system. And yes, that was instituted a system in which we had a governing body who could, when we was in the last man, the Israel, they could come to in a matter of a law being interpreted and different things. They had that system, but these, when they came into Babylonian captivity, they began to make these synagogues, and they started needing rabbis to rise up, and they began to teach, and they started adding to Yahuwah's word, and because their mode of thought was they believed that the added words were all the way from Moshe on Mount Sinai. They believed this. So this is who Yahushua was talking to, these same spirit, these same people who believe that. Okay, now, this is what he said. Verse 33 says, serpent's blood, says, bride of adders, how would you escape the judgment of Gehenna? Because of this, it says, I send you prophets and wise men and scholars of the scripture. Some of them you shall kill and impale, and some of them you shall flog in your congregations and persecute from city to city, so that on you should come all the righteous blood on the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Briakah, whom you murdered between the dwelling place and the slaughtering place. Truly I say to you, all this shall come upon you, or come upon this generation. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killing the prophets and stoning those who were sent to her, how often I wish to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not. See, your house is left to you laid waste. Now, it says, for I say to you, from now on you shall no means see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahuwah. So, this is where it's interesting. Okay, so now you have a clear definition of who he was talking to. Because we've taken the lesson we learned last week. He's talking to these priests, these rabbis, who call themselves rabbis. That's what he said, nobody should come. Who have puffed themselves up with knowledge and interpretation and this Kabbalah and this evil doctrine of the Talmud. Now the spirit has been transferred and is still active today. Now, going back to what we were talking about. It says, these priests, so remember, when they came out of Babylon, these priests existed. This spirit existed. Okay, so after Babylon, these priests were never back right. They were never back right, really keeping. I'm talking about the majority. Now, Yeshua had set apart remnant. He always had a set apart remnant. But though Yisrael be his number, be as many as the sands of the sea, only a remnant will be saved. The priests, when Yahushua came, after they came out of Babylon 500 years, these priests were not upholding the Torah. These priests were not elect. These priests were not keeping the way of the Torah. If they were ordained by Yahuwah, then why would they condemn him? Why would they not know who this was? Why would they not know this is the Aleph and Tav? Why would they not know this is who was in the Old Testament? Why would they think he is this? Why would they say the things they said? Okay, so these priests already existed. Now, these priests called Kohanim, it says also Kohanim, it says were the all patriarchal descendants of Aaron. So now we're talking about the only people that could actually serve in the set apart place were the sons of Aaron. You had to be a descendant of physical lineage descendant of Aaron. Okay? And they said that they called these priests the Kohanim. Kohanim. Okay? Now, they were given the right and the charge by Yahuwah to do the set apart rituals in the temple worship and keep their bloodline pure, and it was through Aaron. Now, this is where the deception comes in. This is the breaking news, right? This is where the deception, because this is what they're coming with. This is what they're coming with. Now, the several Orthodox Jewish teachings also say that the new temple will be built in, some future date. Following the tradition, the temple will require a high priest serving from the genealogy of Aaron. While the title Kohanim continues to exist today, the idea of Aaron's lineage persisting after 3,000 years has invented widespread skepticism because it could not be scientifically proven. Recent DNA, this is very deceptive now. Let me tell you this again. It's the breaking news, but this is coming out soon. Recent DNA analysis has confirmed a specific genetic marker which is only present in Kohanim. It says this discovery attaches scientific credibility to the idea that all Kohanim are the patriarchal descendants of Moshe's brother Aaron. Certain tribes from Africa who claim to have Yahudim roots also, it says, were also confirmed to have the Kohen genetic signature. Now, this is where we're going to dive into it now a little bit. Now, I did an article. Now, they say, look, I'm going to read some of this article because we're going to identify the son, the actual son of Levi and the son, and we're going to talk about, number one, we're talking about the false people, their false Messiah, and the true people and the true Messiah. And the true Passover, the Passover. Okay, now, remember, it says, we're going to talk about it. We're going to get back to what we're saying. But India, the land of India, I know you heard of India, it says that they have a legacy of distinct group of Jewish groups, the Bani Israel, the Canaanite Jews, and the white Jews from Europe. Okay, now, basically, I want to skim through and really give you the gist of this. Now, what they say, the Bene Israel, they call sons of Israel. I mean, the sons of Israel are primarily in Bombay, you know, in Old Delhi. It says the native language is Bene, with it says was Mathur, which are cunning Jews of the South India, Malaysia. The Bene Israel claim to be descendants from the Jews who escaped persecution in Galilee in the 2nd century B.C. Okay? So they claim these Yahudim who lived in, you know, so-called Yahudim, who were persecuted in Galilee in the 2nd century B.C., they claim to be descendants of them. The Bene Israel resembled the non-Jewish Mathurin people in appearance and custom, which indicates intermarriage between Jews and Indians. The Bene Israel, however, maintained the practice of Jewish dietary laws, circumcision, observance of the Sabbath as the day of rest. Okay. Now we're gonna scan down now. Okay. Now. Now it says the first Jews in Cunningham, South Africa, were so-called black Jews who spoke Malaysian tongue. Okay? So we want to pause right there. We know that the diaspora, every time somebody diaspora, you know, even from Galilee, when Yahushua said, because Yahushua prophesied was twofold, when he said they told him, when you see the abomination of desolation, you know, let those in Yehuda, you know, flee into the mountains and everything like that. So we know that they did disperse when they seen the things that were going on, you know, with Anthony's Epiphanes and, you know, all that whole period. We know that it was different times and periods where this prophecy continued to renew itself and their people got disperse, you know. Okay. Now, but this is where it gets tricky, because they're saying this is what the claim is. The claim is we're going back to this. The claim is that the number one, the 70 man Sanhedrin is made up of what they call these cunning Jews and some of the priests. There's a register of some of these priests who they say are the physical DNA lineage of Aaron. Now what you're saying is very dangerous, because Yahuwah is not clean. So not only are they are perpetrating and saying that they are the lineage of Aaron. They're saying they have DNA proof that proves that these Jews, we know that, because they use the story of the diaspora and say they diaspored to Galilee, they diaspored here, and they diaspored here. And yes, that is true. But somehow there's a mix-up where there is an interchanging of people. So now you can make DNA sound like, I mean, this evidence they're coming with is very, very, I'm going to tell you, is very, very strong, because they already have a motive in at hand. You know, you can make anything look like, you know, that this is the DNA strand of the sons of Levi. You know, because they'll do data, what they call date carbon. They'll do date carbon, which they have a material or something ancient or bone or something, and they'll carbon date it and then match somebody else and say they're the same match. So this is what they're saying. They're saying that the Jews of India, Mumbai, India, you know, over by Mumbai, India, and I want to read this part. I want to read this, some of this article right here, so you can gain understanding. I hope I'm not confusing to you. It says more right here. It says DNA test on the Kohens and the Levites, true descendants of Aaron. more than 2,000 years after they first claimed to have set foot in India, the mystery of the world's most obscure Jewish community, the mockery speaking Bnei Israel, may finally have been solved with a genetic date carbon dating revealing that they carried the unusual Moses gene, which would make them literally the children of Israel. 4 years of DNA testing on 4,000 strong Bnei Israel, now mainly based in Mumbai and Pune, Thane and Ahmedabad, indicates they are probably descendants of a small group of heretical Israelite priests, or Tanaim, according to the newest results exclusively made available in the Sunday Times in India. Now, also went on the Khazarian website, Khazaria.com, /genetics, abstracts, Kohen Levite. Now, this is what, this is very deceptive, because what they're trying to do is they're trying to say, hey, the people who will be serving in the third temple of that once we just talked about that Rabbi Yarael is one of the man Sanhedrins and one of the people of the Temple Institute, they're saying that the priests that will serve and the priests they have trained are, because that's the only way, you know, according to the Torah, you can only have, only people that can priest really have to be the sons of Aaron. So they so-called test these. This is how strong their evidence and what they're coming with, saying that they are actually descendants of Aaron. This is what they're saying. Now, this is where it gets tricky and where you know something is fishy. We know Yahusha says, so it's deeper than what you, it's deeper now. You see how deep it is now. It's deeper than, he says, those proclaiming themselves. We're going to read it right now. Revelations, Revelations 3, verse 9. See, I am giving up those of the congregation of Hashatan, Satan, who are saying they Yahudim and are not, but lie. See, I am making them come and worship before your feet and know that I love you. So what you guys saying now, we're talking about this is what they're going to come with in the future. Because they're going to, the whole third temple thing hasn't been publicized, but when it's about to be. And so when it starts to be publicized, people are going to be like, oh, well, you know, you got to be the sons of Aaron. And they're going to have DNA, so-called DNA evidence, carbon-dated DNA evidence, trying to prove that, hey, these are, because what did they say? They said that these Jews, that they said that they, from the Diaspora in Galilee in the 2nd century B.C., that they left there and they are the descendants of the Levites. And they have carbon-dated evidence. And so that gets, they feel like that qualifies them to serve in the temple, to do temple service. See, but all this is imagination because, number one, yes, they have really actually tried, yes, they have really did this DNA evidence. But what you don't understand is if they take somebody wicked and they say this, they can say anything. They can say this strand of DNA, you know, from this person proves that he is from Aaron. But who is that actually that person? So it's deeper than those who just say the Yahudim. No, they actually say they are Yahudim by actually the blood, by the blood and DNA and all this stuff. So, this is what we're up against, and this is what. But it gets deeper. It gets deeper. Okay, I want to read this quick thing. It says the Cunningham Jews, a small southern western India. They claim to have first arrived in India after the destruction of Jerusalem's great temple near year 70. So they're saying. and they're the Levites, and they claim to have first arrived in India after the destruction of Jerusalem's temple. It says their spawning Jewish community coincides with the town of Tangan, which is about 1,000, when the local Hindu leader granted control of the region to a Jew named Yosef Ramban. So this is what they're coming with. Now, I have pictures of what they look like, you know, and what this, because that's what they're saying. I was looking on the Temple Institute. I mean, this is what they're saying. And we can get more into this later, but not now. But they're saying that the Koniak, not the Koniak, but the Mossorian Jews, the Jews that dwell currently in India, by Mumbai, are the direct sons of Levi. This is what they're come with. I got to tell you that they said they tested over 4,000 people, and they have a strain of Aaron. Okay? Now, let's really get down to it. If you haven't heard of a person named Maitreya, I encourage you to first pray and, you know, then begin to look these things up about Maitreya. Now, Maitreya, M-A-I-T-R-E-Y-A. Now, this person who a lot of India, you know, in India, the religion, the main religion is, you know, Hindu. Now, he is supposedly came from and out of India. Now, so I'm gonna read a quick synopsis of this. Now, they claim, now, a lot of people claim that this Maitreya guy, you know, was a high priest in ancient India, and is also the incarnated body of the Messiah. Now, it makes sense that spirit is coming out, that spirit is coming out of that land of ancient Babylon. Because, number one, you have people proclaiming, not just now, because the Jews want to make it so, you know, they you know, it kind of looks like all, because they're covering all the bases. They're covering all the bases, because they know somebody's going to ask, well, you know, you got to be blood lineage of Aaron, serving temple, and all. They're covering all their bases. So it makes sense that they're lying, number one, that no matter what DNA evidence they come with, no matter how many tests they said, it's saying that they have a strand of Aaron. Because the word says different. The word says, I know them who are saying they are Yahudim, but are not Balak. So, just like we talked about just a minute ago, who are they waiting on? The 70 Sanhedrin, whose doctrine is the Talmud, who instituted these, you know, who has perpetrated this information, they're going to start to publicize the information about the DNA and all this stuff of being the sons of Levi. Why? To begin to trick people to believe, like, yes, they are actually the Yahudim. But what did the scripture say? The scripture say that Yahuwah would bring us back into the land. Yahuwah would do this. So who? So which spirit is at work if all these things are happening now? Are you telling me that the New Jerusalem is happening? You're telling me that everything has been reinstated? Well, according to Revelations, this is why you have to deception, because if you're not careful, he said if possible, he would deceive, you know, Hashatan would deceive the very elect. If possible, the very elect will be deceived. I mean, this is how deceptive they're coming with this evidence. And I have it right here that they're coming with this evidence about DNA research, trying to prove that they are the descendants of Aaron. Now, what did Yahusha say? Yahusha said, look, he said that at the last trump, he says, Revelation 24:26, for if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the room, do not believe. For as lightning comes from the east and shines in the west, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Adam. For wherever the dead body is, there vultures shall be gathered. And immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will give its light, and the stars and shall fall from the heavens, and the powers of the earth shall be shaken. It says, then the sign of the Son of Adam shall appear in the heavens, and then the tribes of the earth shall mourn, and they shall see the Son of coming of the Son of Adam in the clouds in the heaven with power and much esteem. And he shall send his messengers with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather his chosen from the four winds. So, according to this scripture, his chosen, his elect, will be gathered once the trumpet is blown. That's what the scripture say. We ain't arguing with theology or anything. That's what the scripture say. He say, he shall send his messengers with a great sound of trumpet, and they shall gather together his chosen from the four winds, from the end of the heavens, from one end of the heavens to the other. Okay? So they're saying now that they're putting this, these are false. So you got to be ready, because not only this gets more in depth, because you remember what Hitler was doing. He talked about the Aryan race and all this stuff. Guess what these Levites that they're proclaiming to be sons of Aaron, guess what their lineage actually is? It's connected to the Aryan race. So this is the breaking news that they're coming with this in just not too long, that they're coming with this evidence, because the reason why this thing has been capped, because once they come with all this evidence, you know, that these Jews in India, they're the Levites and all this stuff, because they're going to try to prove and try to cover all bases. Now, we know, according to the scriptures, that the true sons of Yisrael will be scattered across the four winds, across the world. Now, so who are the sons? So who, we know that also that the Levitical priesthood was what? It was, for the time on, it was done away with. Why? Because Yahushua was the high priest. Yahushua was the high priest. So now, look at this. So now, we're going to, if you have the scriptures with you, we're going to flip a little bit. And we're going to prove. So we're just talking about what they're coming with, what the falsehood, the false sons of Aaron who are not priests, what they're coming with. But what? Let's go to 1 Peter. You go to 1 Peter. First Peter 2:9. First Peter 2:9. He is specifically talking about those who keep the commandments of Yahuwah and have faith in Yahushua. So 1 Peter 2:9, he says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. Before we go to that, we're going to rewind to verse 6. It says, because it is contained in the scripture, see, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, a chosen, precious, and he who believes in him shall by no means be put to shame. This preciousness, then, is for you who believe, but those who disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock makes for falling. He who stumbles because they are disobedient to the word It said, to which they also are were appointed. So just like these Khazars are doing, these people are doing, is Yahushua is becoming the cornerstone in which they will be destroyed. They will be destroyed from this cornerstone. They will stumble over this rock that they continue to be disobedient to the word, just like that same ancient spirit added to the word. You're not supposed to add to the word. You just said in Revelation, he said, if you add to the word, I will add to the plagues written in this book. And that's what they have done. That's what that spirit, that ancient spirit, which is now on the Khazarian people, and now on these people, because and also these people from India who are claiming to be the sons of Levi, who are connected with the Ashkenazi Jews, and who will be allowed to do this service and all these things. This is connected. Now, he says, but guess what Yahuwah says to us? He says, but you are a chosen race. He says to the people who keep the commandments of the Father and have faith in him, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a set-apart nation, a people for a possession, that you should proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but the people of Elohim, in whom you now obtain compassion, but now obtain compassion. So we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. You know what I'm saying? So we now there is only a high priest, and we are priests. So we intercede on the behalf of the people. Why? Because we are able to enter the throne of Yahuwah, the set apart place of Yahuwah through the blood. Because you can only once a year, think about it, once a year only the high priest can enter into the set apart place. Only without, he had to have blood. And would sprinkle blood upon the mercy seat. Now, think about it. We're able to enter the set apart place of Yahuwah through the blood of Yahushua at any time, not just once a year. We don't have to wait once a year, but any time we can enter into that place through V.I. Yahushua HaMashiach. Now, we intercede on behalf of the people, so now we are a royal priesthood. Those who believe in Yahushua HaMashiach and keep the commandments of Yahushua, we are a royal priesthood. So there is no more, at this time, there is no more Levitical priesthood. I'm talking about from the physical lineage. Now, there are priests, which we just read, but from the physical lineage right now, there may be some, but that priesthood spiritually is not in order. That is not in order. We have one high priest who intercedes on behalf of the people, and that is who we go through. So, you have that. And so we want to talk about, real quick, we have the Passover coming up. And so all this leads up to Yahushua. We have the Passover coming up, and, you know, a lot of people do unleavened bread and all this stuff, but we're gonna talk about this real quick. We're gonna talk about this. I want you to go to Corinthians. First Corinthians 5:8. I believe this is the scripture. 1 Corinthians 5:8. Okay, so here Shaul was talking about, because we're a priest, right? You know, and we have to present ourselves like the priest. We have to do priestly, we keep the feast, and all the priests and everybody, they kept the feast. You know, so we no longer have to think. We have to think like the Levitical priesthood and how they, what these things actually mean that they were doing, You know what I'm saying? Because we're all brothers. And we're all brothers. You know, the 144,000, it said that they will reign with the king. Before we go, before we read 1 Corinthians 5, let's go to 1 Corinthians, let's go to, I'm going to flip right to Revelation 20 verse 4. And it says, I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and a judgment was given to them, and the lives of those who had been beheaded because of the witness they bore to Yahushua, and because of the word of Elohim, and did not worship the beast, nor his image, nor did they receive the mark upon his forehead, on the foreheads, or upon their hands. And they lived and reigned with the Messiah for 1,000 years. So those people who overcome the beast, just like we read, I read today with the wife, and we're reading about Hananiah, Azariah, and Yerahel, I believe, and you know who you know by Meshach, you know, Shadrach and Abednego, who you know by them, and how they overcame. They overcame in their modern day, because we always look at it, well, you know, the beast is just implemented now. But even back then, they, you know, Nebuchadnezzar set up the image, just like will be like the image of the beast here. And they said it's not. They said they weren't going to worship. So even then, back then, they overcame the beast by the blood of the lamb. How they overcame the blood? Because remember when they were in the furnace, the Nebuchadnezzar said, "I threw three in there, but four is in there," you know. And they overcame the beast. They overcame the beast by the blood of the lamb. That was Yahushua in there, and they overcame the beast. You know. So just like our ancient people, ancient patriarchs, they overcame the beast of their time. We shall overcome the beast now by the blood of the Lamb, by the word and our testimony. Not by strength, not by power, not by might, but by the Ruach, says Yahuwah. So we read 1 Corinthians, and this is concerning the Feast of Unleavened Bread, you know, because we're talking about before the unleavened bread, you were to cleanse your house of leaven. And leaven is symbolic for like sin, and leaven is symbolic for sin. So you were to clean your house of unleavened. So you know this was clean the house of unleavened to turn it upside down, make sure there's no leaven. So you got to look at your products. You know, they had to look at food and bread and different things, and they had to get it out of it, you know. So I encourage you, too, you know, they have lists out there you can look up, and, you know, things that have leaven, products you may have that have leaven. Cleanse that out, get that out, because that's a commandment. But it's also, it's a greater meaning to that commandment. Why? Because right here we read, 1 Corinthians 5 and 7. It says, therefore, cleanse out the old leaven so that you are a new lump, as you are unleavened. For also Messiah, our Pesach, was slaughtered for us. So then let us celebrate the festival, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of evil and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So Saul was using the spiritual leaven to cleanse out our old life, to cleanse out our old things that are there. He says that we should cleanse out our life of old leaven, old sin, anything that so easily accepted. So anything that trips us up, we are. So this week, because the time when they would eat the on the 14th of Abib, they would eat the Passover lamb with the bitter herbs and the unleavened bread. They were to have no leaven in. They had to be clean. You know that day of the Passover, they would prepare. And so this week, you know, the Passover is, if I'm not mistaken, on the first day of the Passover is on, you know, we use, you know, just to help you out. I believe Thursday evening to Friday evening, the first day of unleavened bread is the Sabbath, next Sabbath. So we're going to have an unleavened bread first day special. You know, we're going to have a special there. But cleanse your life. If there's anything old, sin that so easily holds you back, so easily, you know, messes you up, we need to examine ourselves. We need to examine ourselves and cleanse it out. So that's the challenge, is we can examine ourselves and so we can observe this feast in sincerity and truth, because the Mashiach Yahushua was our Passover. You know, so we eat his words and we eat what he told us, that we should keep his commands. So we got to examine our life, you know, to where that day we can sit and say that, hey, right now at this moment we're unleavened, you know, our thoughts are unleavened, anything that is not right with us, that we can purge it out. We can ask for forgiveness for him to take it away so we will be unleavened. So that's what we're coming upon. We're coming upon the unleavened bread, which is going to be exciting. So so the lesson of the day is, hey, you keep the commandments. Hey, you are a priest. You are a royal priest. We are a royal priesthood. Hey, we make intercessions of the people, and we got to learn how to keep the feast like the priest kept the feast, you know, and how, you know, of course, we can't keep it like, you know, we're not going to sacrifice no lamb or anything like that. But we know we have to have that mind state. You know, we have to have that mind state of what's going on. And so, this week the challenge is, until we see you again, until we hear from you again, Yahuwah willing, is that we begin to cleanse out our life of old leaven. So, hey man, you've been listening to Poetic Energy Network Station. I'm Yahuwah Sai, and this is Still On The Way. Hey man, it's been a blessing to kick it with you. You know, it's hope you got anything out. Share this with your friends, your family, you know, because it's going down, and Yahuwah is awesome, and we just, it's just a good day, you know what I'm saying? So enjoy the rest of your day. Get a chance. Tell somebody about Yahushua, man. Tell somebody about Yahushua and tell them how great he is. But after that, man, we'll see.
And not only the image, but even down to the name. Where it's only in modern English that we have the name Jesus. A couple of hundred years ago, that name never existed.
The mainstream media is ignoring this information. Most of the alternative media is also ignoring it.
The way. On Poetic Energy Network. Station.